welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today we want to talk about a question. I got deep on this thread on Twitter the other day, and I was reading a lot of the comments back and forth, and there is a lot of discussion about the Steve Lawson circumstance. And I wanted to talk about that, and I wanted to ask, do we need to know more details than we know right now? This is an interesting question, of course. If you're unaware, Steve Lawson was a very, very popular preacher in the Reformed circles. He preached a lot with MacArthur's group. He preached a lot with R.C. Sproul's group. He was a person well known for being in those circles. He has had a massive ministry. He has written several books. He has preached at all of the conferences. He's shared a pulpit with all these guys. And then he was ultimately discredited a couple of weeks ago when the elder board came out and said that he was involved in an inappropriate relationship and they've severed all ties, and now it goes off into silence. Now, the question that has been proposed by some people is, do we need to know more details or not? So, first and foremost, let me tell you what we know right now, because here's the problem. Steve Lawson has not came out and made a statement. He vanished, completely vanished. Is that appropriate for a person who spent a massive time in public ministry, on the radio, teaching a lot of people, going to conferences, holding seminars himself, building a large following himself? He completely vanished. We got a statement from his church, and that was it. Everybody else just took him off the books, and he disappeared into the ether. He was a vapor. You are here today and gone tomorrow. But what we know is that he apparently had a 5-year, quote-unquote, inappropriate relationship with a woman who at this time is 25. So he is a 70-year-old man. So at the age of 65, he had developed some form of relationship with a woman who was 20 and maintained this for 5 years. The woman's father caught them in their inappropriate relationship, whatever the nature of that is. And he said that, Steve, you have to out yourself. If you do not, I am going to take the evidence and go public with it. And so he chose to go into the elder board and admit this relationship. So this isn't a case of he had conviction on his heart and broke everything off and goes in and says, guys, I just repented of this 5-year relationship. I want everybody to look into it. Let's talk about what happened. No, it was effectively, you turn yourself into your own church or I'm going to go public. Not exactly the type of thing that we're looking for when it comes to true repentance. We know that he was disqualified by his elder board and his church removed him immediately and effectively from all duties in the church and outside of the church. So we know that he is outside of the pulpit. Now, we also know, and there was a wonderful quote from Vadi Boekman, and I forget the exact quote he said. He was quoting from somebody else, but he did say something to the general effect that, you know, David fell into sin, Solomon fell into sin, there's just there's a number of other people. Obviously, we know a lot of biblical characters that have fallen into sin and were confronted and were repentant. And so we know that at some degree, we all sin. All of us sin. In fact, that is my first verse here, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So Paul himself dealt with some degree of sin in his life. We all deal with a degree of sin. Now, some sins disqualify us from ministries and other ones do not. In fact, I'll tell the story of one circumstance where I left a church because I felt that the pastor, one of the pastors, the associate pastor, was unqualified to be a preacher. And so I was going to this church and I joined the church really fast. I was moving to a new city and I spent a lot of time looking at churches. I'm listening to the online messages for several weeks prior to showing up. And I get in there and I excitedly join the church really quick and everything goes great for about 3 months. Well, I noticed a few issues in the way that they did things, which was like, okay, they might do things differently than I'm used to. And so After about 3 months, though, I had a couple good friends in the church, and one of them just kind of disappeared one day. And I bump into her at work. She works at a store I frequented from time to time. And I was like, you know, hey, I haven't seen you for a while, and how you doing? And you hear that, you see that response, it's kind of like, I'm not really good, but this is not the time to talk about it. I said, well, something's up. I said, swing by my house after work. You know, we were friends enough that she had been in my house a couple times. We had met for picnics a couple times, you know, things like that. No dating situation, just a friend, you know. And so she comes in afterwards, and she unfolds this story that this other couple that I had known in the church, the husband was being very abusive, and they had a 16-year-old son in the house who from the wife's previous marriage, and he effectively is throwing this woman through walls. So they leave while the church is like the no divorce under any circumstance and wants them to stay together. Well, I got news for you. If you get violence in your house, you got to get out of there. You got to protect your kids. You got to get out of there. I'm not calling for necessarily a divorce right this second, but you got to get yourself safe. A godly separation might be what restores it, or a godly divorce to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to separate from the circumstance. I'm going to choose to remain single as the cause of crisis. There's no actual divorceable merit here. There's ways to handle this, but the church basically said anybody who sides with this woman is excommunicated. Well, my friend sided with the woman, therefore was excommunicated. Of course, I never heard anything about this. So I said to her, you know, there's a lot of issues. And she's like, I said, you know, talk to, you know, the pastor. She says, the pastor's a fraud. I said, well, you know, according to the scriptures, you need to come against an elder like that with two or three witnesses. Do you have two or three witnesses of what you're accusing? He says, well, you know, he is on the child sex offenders registry, right? Well, that's enough for me. We jump on the internet and there's my pastor right there on the sex offenders registry list. Well, this associate pastor, while he was a pastor in another church up north, engaged in sexual conduct with one of the students in his congregation. Now, in his case, it was a true repentant case. He turned himself over. He admitted it. He turned himself over. There was no suspicion. There's no blackmail, not like the Lawson case. He goes in, goes to a lawyer, goes to the district attorney, writes the police report himself. He serves a year in jail. He comes out of jail. And, of course, the jail was near the church where this was at here, and he's sitting there crying in the parking lot, whatever. They offer him a job almost immediately as an associate pastor. Now, here's the thing. That is the sign of a man who is truly a Christian. He is absolutely repentant over what he did. This is a man that has a position to serve other men in the church, giving them the warnings about this. But this man is wholly unqualified to be a pastor. And the fact that I work with youth in the community and have brought some of those youth to the church, and I don't know that the pastor's on the child sex offenders registry, is absolutely inappropriate. That is something I should have been told of way in advance working with the type of ministry that I worked in. And so I see this and say, no, there are sins that lead you to disqualification. Now, the elders apparently thought that whatever this was leads to disqualification, and even in their messaging have said that Lawson is, they're encouraging Lawson to seek repentance. So he may not actually be repentant of the circumstance. We don't know, because he has not made a statement. But the question is, do we need to know more information about this? And there's a few arguments that I read on both sides of the coin. This is already 9 minutes. This is going to go longer. I'm on step 0.2 of 3. All right. So on the yes side, do we need more information? Here's the reasons we might need more information. Number one, he has a very public ministry. If he was just a pastor of a small church, we don't need to blast the headlines with this Christian pastor who is caught in an inappropriate relationship. But since he only reported what he reported to the elders because he had to at the threat of being exposed, do we even know the whole of the case? Do we even know the circumstances? Do we know everything that's going on? But because he had a massive open ministry, his repentance must be in the open. That is one of the dangers that we have. James, in fact, tells us in James 3:1, let not many of you seek to become teachers, as such will be incur a stricter judgment. Okay, if we are seeking to become teachers, even like this on YouTube, yeah, if I could fall, unfortunately, my argument says it should be broadcast to the same audience but which I'm teaching to. So many books and ministries, various things. Now, here's the other reason we need to know more details. And this is from Ephesians 5:11, and this is a very good point. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. All we know about Steve Lawson is he had an inappropriate relationship. We don't know what that means. What does that mean? Inappropriate relationship. That is all sorts of places. Now, if he's involved in sexting a woman, cyber sex with a woman, or things like this, that's certainly a problematic thing. But it's a wholly different thing than we're meeting up every other weekend and getting horizontal for a little bit. All right. So we need to know a little bit more details, especially since a lot of waters are being muddied right now in this world. Because as I said, I spent a lot of my ministry working with high-risk youth. And when you're doing a lot of youth mentoring like this, you need to have time alone with the kids. That's the only way to get any form of trust. You will not be effective reaching kids in a youth group. It will not happen. Because they need to have this sense that they can trust you. That brings with it a degree of risk. It brings with it a great degree of trust. If you are seeking a mentor for your child, you need to be very, very studious about who the person is. But you also have to trust at some point in time. Some of the breakthroughs that we've had with all of the kids I had major breakthroughs with is because they trusted me enough, because we spent enough time alone. They gave me enough of their stories that they knew I wasn't going to blab to the whole world about the things they're going through. And eventually, I'm dealing with a porn addiction. I'm dealing with this particular feeling. I'm dealing with this problem over here. They don't trust you enough. So when I hear conservatives get online sometimes say, there's never a reason that a person should be around my kids. I disagree if you're a horrible parent, because I have mentored kids with horrible parents. Now, I've also mentored kids with great parents who recognize that I'm a single mother. I have an adolescent son. I can't give the adolescent son what he needs from a masculine perspective, and the father is completely out of the picture. And so there are certain things that we have to appreciate in that. But this is where we run into the problems of what makes the appropriate mentor. This is what frustrates me when the churches take a stance against Big Brothers Big Sisters, because Big Brothers Big Sisters allows homosexuals to be mentors. What, you want to just abandon this organization that has hundreds of kids on the waiting list in any given city because you're afraid that a homosexual might walk through the door? Why don't every one of your churches in town give one or two qualified people to serve in Big Brothers Big Sisters, and we will not need the homosexuals to interact with the kids? Because the godly people who truly know Christ are a lot safer around those kids than are mentally deranged people who don't know if they're boys or girls. There is a lot of fundamental problems that we have to examine in this world. And so in this town, for example, when I worked with the program, which was almost 20 years ago in this town, we had 87 boys on the waiting list looking for a mentor. And I wanted to bring in the our church children's ministry team to work with the kids. And one of the people in the church is like, we don't want to do or work with those people. They let gays in. What, are you afraid a homosexual is going to walk through the front door of the church and maybe hear the gospel or something? I don't know. But we have to put that stuff aside and stop looking at every form of relationship as immediately suspicious, because the cause of Christ is furthered by this. And there are people that do not have a masculine role model, and the fathers are simply not there, and we need people to step in and do those roles. So that is on the yes side, that we need to know more information. Here is on the no side, that we do not need more information about what's going on. He is already removed from the pulpit. He has been removed from everything that I know of. He is a 70-year-old man. Now, the downside, and this is a downside of no, we don't need more information, is he is able to live in this ministry and do all of these things, but not actually be seriously confronted. So he just gets to go off aside on all of the royalties and all of the influence that he did, and not have to speak up for what he has done. So while no, because he's already removed, this carries with it that I don't think he'll learn and repent, and that can damage his soul in the future. He has been removed from all known ministries, so do we need to know any more? Well, the point is that even Paul addresses publicly points of ministry. And in Galatians 2:11, when Caiaphas, that's Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, they began to withdraw themselves aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And then the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away in their hypocrisy. And so Paul here, what he does is he confronts Peter publicly, not just publicly in Antioch. He puts it in an inspired letter, and now the rest of us know for all eternity that Peter had issues. Okay, so we do need to address some information, but at the same time, he's out of ministry. Do we need to address this with Lawson or not? Do we need to address more information? Honestly, I'm content with what's there, but I haven't been a big follower. But to my knowledge, the people in his church are just know just as much information as I do. Anybody in the church, in his church, or under his direct tutelage, who's studied his books, who's bought his seminars, needs more information than what we have. Now, is this gossip? This is one of the things mentioned. Why are you doing this? I mean, come on. We need to avoid the gossip. I'm going to skip the verse on the two witnesses. We've done that. Okay, let's go down to this one here. 1 Timothy 5:13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. In the Christian world, we look at any form of negativity going on in somebody's life and say, oh, that's just gossip. Don't talk about it. No, gossip has more of a scandalous element to it, not factual truth, not transparency. What's the difference between gossip and transparency? So if I'm studying Lawson and I'm in the dark and I don't know any of this stuff's going on, I kind of want somebody to come by, you know, he got disqualified for ministry. That's like, does that change the quality of what's in the book? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm asking questions here. I don't know. But one of the chief examples that I thought about in this circumstance is Ravi Zacharias. Because Ravi Zacharias lived his whole life with this major ministry, very public, very deeply respected, lots of work. After he died, it came out all of these scandalous parts in his life. Now, here's the problem with that. A lot of people knew what was going on in the background. Nobody wanted to stand up and say anything. Why? We're too afraid of gossiping. We're so afraid of gossiping, we are not willing to talk about somebody who's leaving a wake of destruction behind him, despite how big of an intellectual genius he might have been at expressing things. Now, I was never a huge fan of Ravi Zacharias. I listened to him a couple times. The smooth talking was eloquent sounding. But the reason I didn't listen to Ravi Zacharias, and this is something that a few people pointed out after I pointed this out after his fall, you know, he never really quoted from scripture, right? He was a philosopher. He didn't even know God at all. Okay. But the fact is, a whole lot of people didn't say anything because of Ravi Zacharias' power and influence. And it led to a wake of destruction behind it. It led to a whole lot of people destroyed out of the things that he was doing. So by bringing up more information about what Steve Lawson did, we can ask these questions. Were there warning signs that were ignored by people? Did anybody else know what was going on and decide, I'm not going to do anything because this is the great Steve Lawson? And that's why we need to know more information. We need to have enough information so that we can look at this and say, were there warning signs? Were there anybody else covering this up? Or was this perfectly hidden for 5 years relationship that absolutely nobody knew about except the two people involved? By having a lot more transparency, by us knowing the exact nature of the sin, because inappropriate relationship is not a biblical sin. Was this adultery? Was this emotional adultery? Was this sexual messages? Was this inappropriately buying gifts. What was the nature of this inappropriate relationship? I think we need to know at least that because of how public he was. Again, if he was just a small preacher in a small church that nobody known about, it doesn't matter. The congregation needs to be aware of what went on. Why? As they look for a new pastor in the future, they can look for warning signs. I can remember a church that I was attending, and they had this massive warning sign, one of the things, and a lot of us addressed it with the elder board, and the elder board stick their head in the sand. Well, guess what? They had to fire the guy not too much longer after that, because guess what? Those things started to manifest. Maybe there were signs. By us knowing the nature of what was going on, the nature of how this relationship propagated itself, we can have a better, firmer understanding about what signs to look for to keep our ministers accountable. So I don't have any solid answers here. That's all we know about the Steve Lawson case. And those are the arguments for and against getting more information about the case. Let me know your thoughts about that. And let me know, did you listen to Steve Lawson in the comments down below? Thanks for watching. And have a look over the website, ourwalkinchrist.com. I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.